And last but not least is our message for the night by Dr. Enoch Williams, Missing the Blessing.
God is doing something with the NCCB. And I'm just standing here with tears in my eyes watching it happen. And you know, we need to be about our Father's business.
Amen.
I'm telling you, He's coming back, and I believe that some of us are going to live to see it happen before He takes us to be with Him. And it's a privilege to know that He wants to use our lives as a testimony and a witness to this lost and dying world. And, you know, this passage we're looking at in the Bible probably did not excite any of you when you read it. But, you know, if you look at the theme of the Bible from beginning to end, you find out that humanity started off on the right foot, but it didn't take long for them to get in trouble. And God has been working His will out in the course of history and through those that will listen to His voice, and using them to reach out to a lost and dying world. And we're a privilege to be a part of that company, that God has said to us in our hearts, I love you, you can love me now. You can't love God till you've experienced His love. You know, we talk about love in a sense that we like one another, and I'll, you know, you because you, what you do for me or what I do for you. But you know what? You still have to love the ones that are unlovely too.
Amen.
You know that? I remember it, standing on a corner, and a man said to me, you can be what, you know, he wanted me to be. I said, what's that? He said, you know, but I had a father who told me at home, said, don't let any man tell you that you're any less than he is. That you got the same equipment he had in this world, two legs. At the time, I had two eyes, too. But he wanted me to try to be something that he thought would elevate my status in life. And I had to find out from God that I had to come down to the level where I really existed to be able to get up and walk with Him and be able to say that each new day is the victory that He intended for us. And we can all do that, whether we're blind, whether we're hard of hearing, whether we have trouble with our legs. And I'm finding, you know what, as I age, that some of these things are creeping up on me. I have got that right. But you know what? God is still able to take what He has in His hands and use it to do what He intended. And He only says to us to acknowledge that He's our Father, to be able to look to Him and to realize that it's not us doing it, but Him using a vessel that's willing to be able to be guided by His Spirit, to learn how to relate to Him through His Word, and then put it in action. So, I know that you're here because that's what you want God to do with your life. And we're going to look at a man that should have had all of these opportunities, could have had, and was placed in a place where they were there for him. But he did not appreciate it. And I don't know that I can condemn him for that, because he was in a situation where many of us will find ourselves today without a father. And God had given him Himself as their father, but they weren't taking hold of that. And he didn't have the story doesn't speak anything about his earthly father being a testimony in his life or witness to the fact that there was a God in Israel. And that part of it is kind of left out. But we know that God wants to be our Father every day. And Father, we thank you. We ask you to guide our hearts, our minds, and allow your Spirit to freely use this voice and to, Lord, say what it is you would say to us, Lord, as we look at these scriptures tonight. And, Lord, we ask you to be glorified, praised, and honored in all that we do and say, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Judges 17, well, there was a man from the mountains of Ephraim whose name was Micah, and he said to his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from you, on which you put a curse, even saying into my ears, the silver is with me. And his mother said, may you be blessed by the Lord. Now let me stop. The man's a thief. He's taken what his mother had. We don't know how she got it, because it was not a small amount of money. 200 shekels, I looked up, was about $7,000 in today's money value. So 1,100 meant that she had a whole lot more. But how she got it evidently wasn't the question. But her son decided that he wanted some of it for himself. Well, no, he took it all. You know, I never seen a thief come in a house and look around and say, well, you know what, I don't want those jewels, or I won't take the money, I'll just take the jewels. He's looking for anything that's valuable. And Micah, by the way, his name means who is like Jehovah. It's the first time it's used in the Bible. And Micah was anything but like Jehovah. He was the perfect example of what God is not. And when his mother confronted him, he says, I've got the money. Because why? She placed a curse on him. And in Israel, even the unbelieving Jews knew that the word that you spoke had some impact and might actually come to truth. And he, being superstitious as well, got a little guilty conscience going and decided, I better give this money back to her before this actually happens, this curse that she's pronounced. And she then turns around and says to him, be blessed of the Lord. Now, her intent was that she was going to set up some shrine along with him in the house and make these idols, because she was in the same spiritual situation or degradation. But he is now trying to be placated by his mother when she says, be blessed of the Lord. What Lord? The only Lord they knew was their own sinful hearts and the deceiving spirit that had lied to them and told them that they were on the right track when they're sitting in the midst of all that God intended for them. They were on the land that God had promised them. They were experiencing the blessing God promised them. They were being able to interact with God because the temple was there in Shiloh, or tabernacle, and nobody's going there. You know, that's a problem with today with a lot of churches.
That's true.
They're closing them up, big ones too, because nobody's going there. And I know when we grew up, some of us anyway, I'm mentioning the senior citizen group here, because I do fit into that category. But whether we wanted to, on Sunday morning, we're told to get up and get to church on Sunday, right? Now, and that's good, because you're not going to hear the word laying up in bed with the pillow over your head. But it hasn't been much different through the course of history. Man, always talks about how things are different. When it comes to having a relationship with God, there's only two choices. I'm going to listen to his voice, or I'm going to ignore it. You don't have a third option. Sitting on the middle of the fence is just like being on the other side, looking up, trying to figure out where you're at. And Micah was trying to find out if he could make things kind of work for his own good. When you read this story and it talks about silver, it talks about a priest, it talks about a man, all of these things fit into the category of where man is living today as well as then. Everybody likes to have the things of this world. And God gave them to us because he loves us. And he wants us to enjoy this life. But the problem is, there's an old man that dwells in the heart of man that says, it's never enough. I got to have more. You got more than I got? No, that's never going to work. You live over there in that neighborhood? People say that to me, and I say, hey, this is where God put me. I'm not moving till he says it's time to go. And if you know him, and you know that he's able to keep you where you're at, you can be content wherever you are. You know that? And you don't need to let somebody tell you, well, you live in that neighborhood? Hey, you won't hug a coke addict or a drunk if you're on Society Hill, because they don't even want them in the neighborhood. They don't want you to be, you know, them coming through, because that would mean that, you know, I'd have to feel maybe there's something going on around me in this world that needs to be attended to, and if I'm God's child, that I need to be a part of. But when you can hug a coke addict and say, I love you, and mean it, and weep with them, and feel the pain that they're going through, then you may be close to your Father, because he loves them, he's reached out to them, and he wants them to come home. And if he will save them just as quick, if not quicker, than some of those that are in Society Hill who don't know and hear anything but good news. You know, I've got my stocks, they're going up, the dividends went up today. I've got my job, and I got a big raise, you know, and I can take that next vacation today. Or, you know what? I got a new friend who's got a Cadillac, and I can ride in it today. You know, I'm going to tell you something, folks. That Lord is able to give you what you can handle. What you can't handle, he's not going to give you so that you can mess it up. And, you know, and some of us want things that we just can't handle. You know, we want to show ourselves off and tell everybody else who we are and how great we are. Michael set up a house full of idols, and he had silver in there. He also had an ephod. You know what an ephod was? It was what the priests wore as a breastplate, which was what the jewels were put on, that represented God's relationship with Israel. And you know where it was put? Right over the heart of the man. That's where God wants his people, right next to his heart. And he wants to be in yours as well. And I'm not talking about the physical one. I'm talking about where you live and what motivates your actions on a daily basis.
Amen?
And look, the word says in those days there was no king in Israel. And as our brother said, it's a magistrate, the one who was a lawgiver, the one who was to keep things in the right perspective and direct them. God had given them a system for that. He had to set it up so that they could be guided by his word. And yet, there was a king in Israel. There never was a day that God had never been without being their king. But they didn't want him. They wanted to be like all the other nations. Hey, folks, we're not like the other nations.
Amen.
And that word could be interpreted people too. We're God's people, called out, set apart unto him to be a testimony and a witness. And you know, and I told a brother some time ago, if you go to chapter 19 of Exodus, it talks about God's relationship with Israel, that they were a treasure that he had taken to himself, and they were also a holy nation, and a people that He was going to work through to make his own. And brother told me, that's not in there. I said, well, you have to go find it and read it. Because if you don't read, you know, this book is like a plate of ice cream that never ends. It's something that will feed your soul. It will make you know that you're alive. It will become something that you can speak and walk in and know that you can go to sleep at night. Ask my wife. She says, that man, and his head hits the pillow, he's done. And I thank the Lord for the fact that he's given me the ability to do that, because I put away the shame. I put away the guilt. Not that I'm not or wasn't guilty, and that I might be guilty about something today before it's over. But I know the Lord has already addressed it, and he's addressed it with each one of us that has put our trust in him. Amen. I don't have to set up a shrine you know, in my house to make people think that I'm holy. Yeah. Neither do you.
That's right.
If you got anything there that you're wearing a cross, or you got a figurine or a plaque or something, and you think somehow that makes your place a little holier than the next one, you got the wrong idea.
Amen.
That, and yet the world will sell you all this stuff. Give me a little angel. You know, they don't even know what an angel looks like. Right? They haven't read the description that God gives, and they're certainly not going to make one if they do, because it would be something that wouldn't be appealing to humanity. Because not figure into their thinking. You know, you see them with their hands folded and looking up and praying. Angels don't have to pray. They're already set for eternity. Those that made their decision to serve the Lord have been accepted by him, and they can't sin. They can't even, do without him. And neither can we. You know, so if you got any of that mess around, hey, if it's cute and you just think that it'd be nice to show somebody what you bought, I've got two crystal angels that my wife inherited, and I'm hoping they're worth something, because I'd like to see them, you know, to be able to use them for something good. But I'm certainly not going to set no idols up in the house to get up and burn a candle in front of, or And I told a neighbor that a few years ago, who said, I got my little statues and my candle up there, and I said to him, John, this is not a reflection on it, but his name was John Doon. And he said, but that's why, you know, I said, that's not necessary. Do you know what the Lord did with him a couple of weeks later? He was carrying his groceries home. He's an older man, too, in his 70s, and the kids started to jump him. And he had one of those pepper sprays, and he took it out in his hand, and it didn't work. But the kids got there, and they said, hey, he's got something in his hand, and they turned around and ran the other way. He was so surprised at that. I said, look, I said, if you put your trust in the Lord, he's got your back.
Amen.
You know, that's right.
Yeah.
And nobody can put their hands on you unless the Lord allows it.
That's right.
And if he does, it's for his glory and for your good. Because the one day that we're all going to celebrate is the day that we walk home in his presence and know that the fight is over and that we've won the victory, because
amen,
he's already given it to us.
Amen.
And I said, he says to me now, he says, Enoch, I don't know how you do it. I said, with the Lord's help. Just keep it simple, you know. Because,
yeah,
you know, that's the way God wants us to do. He wants us to tell people how good he is.
Amen.
And that's one thing that an idol can't do. An idol can't speak. In fact, God tells his people, hey, where are you going to be when your idols don't deliver you from the things that are going to come upon you? That you put your trust in those things that are temporal, and yet they all fail. You know that we sometimes can't see how we're going to get through tomorrow. But we have a God that when we fall on our knees and say, Lord, I'm turning from the way that I'm trying to do it. I want to do it your way. And Lord, I need some help. And not just to get me out of this situation, but to get me where you want me to be. And that's the thing God wants to do. Life is good. Amen? We're enjoying ourselves here? We're having a good time in the Lord? Oh, yes, we are. Hey, I know. We've all had some problems, I bet. Because, I've been winding up and down these halls for the last 2 or 3 days now. And you know what? Don't bother me. Because I know that the victory is ours.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
That anytime you get to the place where you think as a Christian, it's already finished and that you're not going to run into any difficulties with the world system, then you may be going in the wrong direction. Because they're not happy with us.
That's true.
Look around you. Look at what's going on in the world today within the secular realm. And they're trying to make us one. You know, let's all be one faith. We're going to be an interfaith. You can get in it if you want, but you'll run out of it when the Lord shows you what it's about. Because they don't have any peace.
That's right.
They don't have any joy.
That's right.
They don't know that God is not in it.
That's right.
They create their own gods.
That's right.
And they put them up in the form of a man.
That's right.
Or they may have a shrine.
That's right.
Let's go down and dedicate the shrine, you know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Man told me, come on out to the recreation center. We're going to dedicate a tree. I said, no, I'm not coming. Hey, I can plant all the trees I want on the side of my house. I don't need to dedicate a tree and put a plaque on it because in memory of somebody else. If you plant it over him, the roots might eat him up. But that's the kind of stuff they do. Yeah. And I love trees now. I know they have a very reasonable function for us because they take the carbon dioxide that we exhale and make oxygen out of it.
That's right.
You know, we could do with less of these 100-story buildings and put some more trees down. It would clean up our atmosphere, right? But that's not going to build up the world system. Trees are something that they figure, well, we'll buy a few seeds and plant some over here, but let's put that next building up. Look at the Old Testament. It tells us that man, after the flood, built a tower called the Tower of Babel. And it had a couple of purposes. If you're only a couple hundred years down the road from a world flood, don't you think everybody knew about it?
Yes.
Don't you think they knew? Hey. If we put up a building that reaches to the heavens, maybe he can't make a flood that will take us out of here again, right? But that's not all. He got on top of it, and he started looking up and said, oh, look at them pretty stars up there, or that moon over there, that sun. Hey, maybe that's God. No. God says that these things were put there as a witness to who he is and how awesome he is. And that we can see his handiwork right there in the heaven. He tells us that. Do you know that nobody's coming to Christ till they realize that? That they understand that God is creator? It's the first thing that you've got to try to tell them. Because we live in a world that's looking at everything around it and thinking somehow they're in control of it. That they're going to fix it. With technology, with science, with sociology, psychology, and philosophy. And these are the tools that man has to deal with. Now, used in the proper context, they can be beneficial. Hey, we can make more food for a larger number of hungry people. We can provide better resources and more jobs if we're using them properly. I was speaking to one of the brothers here last night. And I remember when every neighborhood had a conglomerate of small businesses in it.
Oh, yeah.
And they thrived.
That's right. Yeah.
And you could go down the street and find just about anything you wanted in your neighborhood. You didn't have to go running down to Walmart or Target or Kmart or whatever. But they were right there for you. And it was convenient.
That's right.
And the neighborhood was prosperous because of it. Because the people that ran the stores lived in the same area.
Yeah.
And they were able to, you know, have a personal relationship with their customers.
That's right.
They knew them as, you know, their neighbors. Now, all they want to see is your credit card.
Yeah.
You know, where's your credit card? And if you don't, you know, you can get into debt if you want to, but they'll call you till you want to be in eternity. You'll say, "Lord, can I get some help getting them off my back?" And people are frustrated and exasperated by the system that we live in. But we've created it for ourselves, you know, because we want to do better. One way to do better is to get in front of God and say, "Lord, I know that you've already planned a life for me, one that I can live and be all that you want me to be." And that doesn't, you know, as Maria was up here singing and I listened to that beautiful voice the Lord has given her, I thought about Johnny Erickson Tata.
Yes.
Who has 45 years of ministry behind her.
Yes.
And never been able to do anything outside of that wheelchair for herself.
That's true.
Because she submitted her heart to God.
Yes.
So it's not what you're dealing with in the physical, because God in you is the one who is the enabler. It's not that you've got all this get up and go and I'm going to do this with it because I just want to. You better approach the throne room of grace first and say, "Lord, give me some direction. Give me some guidance. Give me some help."
Yes.
Micah never learned how to do that. In fact, he took his son. I thank God he wasn't my father. Thank God. Because my father only had a third grade education. He was born in 1894. If he was alive today, boy, he'd be an old man, I'm telling you. But that third grade education, he was able to raise four children and give us some of the things that you can't find children enjoying today. You know? We'd get in the car and go down the shore and have a good time all day without spending $1,000, you know, or go up to see our aunt in Pittsburgh, stay for a week or two, and come on back to Philadelphia. Or he'd take us to what was a couple of amusement parks in Philadelphia, or a swimming pool or whatever. And we enjoyed one another's company. Now, he worked a lot of hours to be able to do that because he didn't really have much of a background that he could go and get a blue-collar or white-collar job. He was a janitor. You know what a janitor is today? A sanitation engineer. But you know what?
Custodial
engineer. Well,
he
took me at 7 or 8 years old into those basements with him shoveling coal. And putting out the trash and mopping down the steps and the places. And you know what? It taught me that if you want something from life, that you can work for it and achieve it.
Yes.
But that's not the way Mike is trying to get his position in life. He's thinking that if he takes from his mother, and God needs to help these young men and women today that are taking from their mothers. They need to know that it's not going to work. Because one of the first promises that God made to man that had a blessing behind it was, "Hey, honor your father and your mother, that your days might be long upon this earth." And I don't see anywhere where that's been rescinded. First of all, if you're going to listen to them, and they're going to give you good instruction, you're going to be blessed. You have to be blessed, because there's very few real parents. Now, I don't mean there's folks that, you know, just will run from house to house and try to find who they can lay up with. I'm talking about people that are committed to one another and that are making a life and want to raise children that they can give an opportunity to be able to live a life that's worthwhile. And if you're not going to listen to them, hey, then you got a problem. You're going to take and do what most of, I know it all. You know, anybody been had a 15-year-old around them that knows it all yet, lately? It's a sad situation. Because they can look at the media today. They can go to the movies today, and they can listen to, you know, talk shows and get their thinking all messed up by people who don't have anything better to do than waste their time trying to earn a living giving bad advice. And that's what they're doing. And as God's people, we need to be about our Father's business. That means that what he says is what works. And if he's given you parents that know that, then you're blessed. If he hasn't given you parents that know that, then he's given you good common sense. You don't have to listen to every Tom, Dick, and Harry that comes down the street and tells you what you ought to do. When this man told me what I could do, I told him, why would I? I'm happy with who I am. You know, and I was messed up then. I was only 14 years old. I didn't know the front from the back. But I knew I didn't want him telling me how to fix it, because he didn't know any more than I did. But that's the way it is. So we can't set up an intermediary between us and God. That's what that Micah was trying to do. I need something that I can call religious in my life, you know? And he had the shrines. Now he needed a priest. Hey, he was the one that brought that young man into the world. How could he teach him or be anything to him other than his son? You know? Doesn't even make sense when you think about it. And yet consecrated him and put him in that place. In other words, he said, you can be twice as bad as I am, you know, because now I'm going to make you something that you weren't intended to, because God had called a priesthood out of the Levites. And he had told them they were to live in the cities of refuge and that they would minister to the people's needs. Well, as time went on, of course, that became a problem, because sin in the human heart will separate your fellowship with God. You can nurse it if you want to, but your heart will grow cold. We're told to keep short accounts. That means you're not going to get right all the time. None of us are perfect. But you can't make a practice of your little pet sin and think that it's going to be a blessing to you, because it will turn your heart cold. You know what you'll start doing? You'll start finding you don't want, like our brother said, the fellowship with your sisters and brothers in Christ, the going to your knees in prayer, the reading of the Bible, the calling to do and be a representative of Christ. I'm going to tell you how I know that. Because I was saved at 13, but I let teenage years, those sessions at the, you know, oh man, isn't she pretty? And the next thing I know, I was chasing the prettiest woman I could find instead of chasing the Lord down and finding out what he wanted to do with me. Now, you can know you're saved once God seals your heart with his spirit. You never lose that understanding. You never lose that knowledge. Because it's either a reality in your life or it's not. There's no, you know, I lost my salvation, folks, because I went out and messed up. Now, his word says he'll never leave you nor forsake you. And I thank God for that, because I know that there's no reason for me to be standing here tonight other than his love that he's set on each one of us, that we have the understanding that he is our Father and that we can walk into his presence no matter where we're at. That, you know, Adam and Eve tried to hide from him because the Word tells us that they had the understanding of God's presence was with them. And that's where we should live, knowing that we're not just looking at the prettiest dresser on the rack or the baddest suit in the store or the nicest pair of shoes on our feet or whatever. And guess what? God will give you those things if you need to do what he wants you to do with your life. He's not holding anything back from us. He says he gives us only good gifts. And that's one thing I like about it, because I would have every Christian to know that if you get up in the morning with the expectation that God is with you, that he's going to do something with your life that is awesome, and that you want it to happen because you want to know that you can experience it while he's using you, that you're not doing it. He's one who opens the door. He's the one who gives you the means to do it and the situation. And it's just awesome to have that kind of an expectation from God every day. You know that? It makes life worth living. In fact, it's the only way that life will exist in you. Because if you were thinking about, well, you know what? If I save enough money, I can take another trip. And there's nothing wrong with taking trips. I tell my wife, I love to travel, but I want to travel for the Lord. I want to go where he wants me to be. Amen. I want to do what he wants me to do. I want to help in the vineyard that we live in. You ever look at yourself like a piece of fruit? This is God's vineyard, and we're his fruit. If you don't know it yet, just try to get off the tree and see what happens. So he said, he was the vine, and we're the branches. And what grows on branches? Fruit. And it's growing in you. And we need to be aware of that. And I got an apple up there in the room right now that I got this morning. But it's no longer on the tree. You know, that thing can't reproduce anything where it's at in that refrigerator. It's got to be on that tree to be able to make seeds and to, you know, then reproduce as it falls to the ground and it opens up and the seeds then go into the earth. Well, God wants us to open up, folks, in this day and tell the world about his goodness and mercy. He wants us to tell them that they can come home. And you'd be surprised how many people want to come home. They just don't know how to get there. You know that? Now, I'm not boasting or bragging, but we got on that plane in Philadelphia, and every year I come here, I hope to be able to say this, that God set somebody down beside me that I could talk to. He was an IT engineer. On his way to, you know, a field for research project or whatever. And I said to him, you know, or at first I said to the Lord, look, you know, this is one of them stiff shirts, you know, I got to find a way to get through him. Like, yeah, because you can't talk to everybody the same way.
That's right, that's right.
You know, you got to approach them where they're at.
That's right.
So I started talking to him about politics, right. And I started telling him about some of the things that are going on in the world, and how, you know, it's sad, and you know, then I got to, you know, there's a solution. I believe there's another solution after I laid it out for him. And I told him that the Lord is the one who's going to straighten it out, that he's already done a work that's sufficient. And I put that right in there, you know. I said, that's what God wants us to do. Plant.
That's right. That's
plant
right.
It.
Plant and water.
He'll water, or somebody else will, but he's going to give the increase.
That's right.
You know that? And it's for his glory. I may never see him again. I hope he reaches heaven. But I don't believe that God gives us those opportunities in vain.
That's right.
He says his word will not return void. It will accomplish what he purposed it to do. And that's right. And guess what? Don't come to my yard, though, because my plants are suffering. But the good thing is that not only did Micah have the opportunity to be a blessing to his family, but he missed the boat. He now finds that there's a young man named Jonathan, who's in the family of Moses, a Gershomite, that's looking for something to do. God put them where they had plenty to do. But with the people not being there, does that give him an opportunity to just get up and go where he wants to go and do looking for something else to do? Right. Look, folks, if you're not have your mind made up that you're going to serve Jesus, you're looking for something to do because your heart's not settled. It's not right with God. And you're going to be able to find trouble without looking too hard. You know, that's the problem that we have in this world. There's too many temptations to go around and not enough people realizing that we don't have to go that way. And I'm here to tell you that I'm just like any other human being. I have to deal with them just like you do. And the only way that I can overcome them is in Christ Jesus. There's no other victory outside of that. And, I'm PhD. I will, guess what? The Lord's blessed me with 2 doctorates. I'm not going for a third because I don't want anybody telling me, oh, look at him, he's PhD so-and-so. I got too much to do in the meanwhile to be worried about a PhD. You know, poor human design. But and I realize that I'm not the initiator or the author of any of this. God is the one who's doing it, and he will use whatever he can find that's willing. And sometimes the worse off you are in this world, the better equipped you are for his kingdom.
Amen.
You know that? And, well, anyway, Jonathan comes along and happens to find Micah, who's already got a priest in his house that is totally against anything that was written about their relationship with the Lord. And he says, well, hey, would you like to be my priest? I'll give you some clothing. I'll give you some money. And you can live in here and, you know, we'll replace those worn out garments. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out what would Micah's priest have spent his money on. There was no stores going down the corner to go to. And, you know, aside from the fact that he had to change his clothes once in a while, that about the only thing he'd get out of it is the a matter of being what God had already made him. He was a representative for the Lord. And to do that and change his allegiance from the God of Israel to a man was a step down that he was never going to recover from. And we can live this life, and the word tells us that God will not only chasten us for our actions, but we can lose reward.
That's
that
right.
We can be saved and on our way to heaven, right, and lose what God intended for us to have.
That's right.
And are we going to be able to cry about that all through eternity? No, because I think he tells us he's going to take all of that nonsense away. But, hey, I want everything God's got for me.
All right.
I'm just that greedy. I don't, you know.
I hear you.
Because I know that if he prepared it for those that love him,
that's right,
it was intended to be a blessing to me and to everyone else that he's called to himself. And that makes, look at the stock market. They don't know where it's going, up or down. You know, look at the job situation. I heard one man say, we're coming out of the recession. Another man says, we're going into a new one. You know, guess what? I don't care where they go. I'm going to put my trust in the Lord. And I hope you do too. Because without him, it's not going to work anyway. You know, God's going to keep his people through the worst times that this earth is ever going to see. Because he's told them that he will secure their lives. One of the things that man doesn't have a grasp of is that this temporal life is just a training camp for eternal life.
That's right.
That we're sitting on the edge of eternity waiting for God to call us home. And the rest of the world's talking about, can we get out there to that next planet? We just discovered a new one. Look, don't know why I'd want to go there, because this is where God planted man. This is where he's going to mature, and this is where he's going to spend eternity. Did you know that? That God's going to renovate this earth and make it new?
Yes, yes.
It's in the Bible.
Oh, yes.
It's in the Bible.
Revelation 21.
And we're going to be here ruling and reigning with him for 1,000 years during the millennium, but he doesn't tell us what goes on after that. But we know that there's a new city called the New Jerusalem that's going to be our home.
Amen.
And that he'll be there.
Yes, yes.
He's the light of it.
Yes.
He's the one that prepared it. In fact, it's probably already finished. And it's never going to need any renovations. If anybody wants to help me with mine now, I'll be glad to accept your help. But you know what? It's great to know that we have a father who loved even Micah and was able to give us his life experience. And all Micah had to do was turn from his sin in rejecting the living God and repent, and God would have accepted him. Hey, we have a better and a higher commitment than that. God has taken our sin and nailed it to the cross, never to be reviewed again. We're never to look up and say, Lord, can you save me once more? No. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And now we have to allow him to cleanse us day by day as we interact with him and with one another and the world. Because Adam has had a nature too, you know that. We hear a lot of people talk about the flesh like there's something evil about your skin. Now, it's talking about that old nature, that carnal nature, the one that says, I'm still in charge, you know. I want to do it my way. And no, hey, it's in my way or the highway, right? No, it's not, because God's already done it his way, and it's sufficient, and it will never fail. He says it cannot fail. He's not able to say one thing and then do another, because he's not a liar. He tells us that he cannot lie. And I can take his word at face value that what he's doing with Israel is in the book. If you read it, you see history unveiling right before our eyes. So why wouldn't I believe that he's going to do what he's promised me? That there's a life that he already ordained for each one of you. That he's going to be able to direct your path and guide you into that victory through the circumstance. Mm-hmm. Oh, don't tell me that everything's going to go the way it should, because there's too many preachers out there preaching a social gospel today. Mm-hmm. That'll tell you, just love everybody, and we can get along. No, because the old nature's not going to let them get along. It sometimes doesn't let us get along. But we can put it in a proper perspective and say, Lord, help us to separate the sin from the person. We can hate the sin, but we got to love the person. That's what the Word teaches, that God wants us to be separated from our sin, not one another, not to, you know, try to hold on to that little pet peeve that I have that I know no, they won't find out, or I can get away with this. Get out of here. you're lying to God. And don't you know God gives his children discernment? And I never directly challenge anybody's motives, but I can certainly challenge the outcome of their actions if they're not lining up with God's word. And we need to do that, because they're never going to look at their situation and say, hey, maybe I could do better if I asked the Lord for some help. You know, is he willing to give it? Certainly. But this Levite got his own help. He found that he could get his meals, his housing, and a little stipends and some clothing. Isn't those the basic needs that we have in this world? That everybody here has got a home that you can go home to, right? Everybody here has got some clothes on their back. You got some food in the refrigerator? Your needs have been met. God's already provided for your needs. But when you try to exceed those things and say, I need more because I just want it, you know, I'm going to have as much as I can get for as fast as I can get it and as long as I can keep it. Hey, what are you going to do with it? Put it in a bin somewhere? You know, remind somebody else how important you are because of what you got. I'm not impressed. And Christians do that. I'm sorry to say. Instead of using the resources we have to be a blessing to those around us that may have a little less, and just be touched by the fact that you're willing to share what you have to make their life a little easier. Hey, you might even find that some of them want that Jesus that you have. And because you're now showing them that you don't need a motive to be able to love. It's something that you do because it's a part of who you are. And when you feel that you can do that, then you know that you may be pleasing your Father as well. Because he's told us to look out for widows, look out for orphans, go visit the prisoners. And, you know, if we on the street today, and I've unfortunately seen this happen, when someone's hurt, everybody turn around. Let's see how fast I can get out of here. You know? When really, if that person needs help, we should be trying to get them some help. Yes. Didn't God ask Cain, where's his brother? He says, what am I, my brother's keeper? Yes, you are.
Yes,
and we need to understand that we're not in this by ourselves. We're not doing this for, you know, so I can set up. And, oh, by the way, Micah, neighbors knew all about his little shrine that he had set up, too. Because why? You find that when the Levite was hauled off with the idols, and the Danites came, not only had Micah started out with his family, now he's got a priest following. Here's a tribe of Dan who were in the land that God had given them but had failed to take it. And God told them they could take it. You know what kept them from taking it? Sin in their lives. They became infiltrated by the Canaanites that were around them and started to practice their pagan ways of life. And, of course, they grew cold and they grew scared of them, too, because they couldn't drive them out of the mountains. Hey, God's people should be living on top of the mountain. We're not fighting from a foxhole. We're fighting from the cross. And that victory was won 2,000 years ago. And I'm not giving a foothold to anybody that says any different. You know, I don't care what religion they come from, what shrine they set up, what priest they've got, or what they call a priest. Because, you know, all these false religions have a priest that they look to. But God's our priest. He's given his son to be our intercessor and the mediator between man and God. And to accept anything else, we're going to find out it doesn't work. Not because of God's left us, but because he will not bless a mess. He's not going to take that mess and let you have your way in it and continue to, you know, make the world think that, oh, my God's just like any other. You can do what you want, when you want it, and how you want it. You've deceived yourself. He said the word be conformed to the image of his son. And look, Jesus did not seek his own. In fact, he did not testify of his own, but said that the Holy Spirit was the one that witnessed through him that he was from the Father. And guess who is going to witness through you? It's not going to be your education, nor your job position, nor your social agenda, nor your family, nor friends, or whatever. You're witnessing to them, and they can see the difference if it's real. They can know that there's something about you that makes you stand out right where you're at. And you don't have to go looking for a foreign land. You're standing on the property God's given you. You're right where God has placed you. And if he wants to move you, he'll give you the ability to get up and do that. But while you're there, be aware that he has work for you to do, that he's given you the ability to accomplish it, that he's going to be with you every minute that you're in it. And when I hear families say, oh, I can't reach my son or my daughter, well, I'm here to tell you, if you've told them about Jesus, you've reached them.
Amen.
They still got to make a decision. You're not responsible for that decision, but you certainly might be wondering whether or not you were the one that God was going to use to reach them. And I think everybody in here could say that at some point you probably said, I don't have time for that, or I got to hurry up and get here. I've missed it a couple times, and I know it. But, you know, I learned from that, hey, there's nothing more important in this life than being able to tell someone what the Lord wants to say to them and taking the time to do it.
That's right.
Because time is the one thing none of us are going to be able to reverse.
That's right.
You can reverse your finances. You can change your location. You can get a new job. You can recover from a sickness. But you can't get 1 minute back. Once it's gone, it's gone. And yet they're precious because God's given them to us to be able to do what he intended for us to do in living in this world as his representative. And folks, the church, I'm sad to say, has a lot to learn about how to do that today. Because many of them are being lulled to sleep by the fact that we have a good social gathering, you know. We love to eat, and I do too. But that's not why I'm going to church. I'm going to hear the word.
That's right.
And fellowship with my Lord and Savior corporately.
That's right.
And anything that goes on beyond that, as long as it's godly, I don't have a problem with it. In fact, I think it's good. It's encouraging. But if I make that the essence of what I'm going to, oh, that group over there is better than that group over there. Now, if that group over there is better, when you get there, it may not be in the same shape. So, you know, let's find out what it is God wants to do with our lives and pitch in and let the world know that we stand on a firm foundation.
All right.
And we can win the battle.
Yes.
We don't have to go into somebody else's backyard and take from them what God has blessed them with. And, hey, there's enough folks out there that are lost that we can all gather a family together right here on earth. Because we are family. You know, most people don't realize that. The family sitting in here is much closer to me than the one I grew up with. Because half of them may never make it.
That's true.
I love them, but I'm not going to follow after them. And we just kind of let them know that God's got a better plan for them. That he wants to give them all that he plans to give to his son, Jesus Christ. We're going to inherit all things with Christ. That means that whatever God's planned for Jesus, we're going to be able to share it. My mind can't comprehend how broad that is, because I know how he loved him. He said, I'm well pleased with him. And he's going to be well pleased with us too. And we'll be able to, you know, just, well, you know, I like to just visualize sometimes what it could be like. And this is strictly out of my own imagination. I'd like to travel the vast universes that God has made and just, you know, be a, say, hey, Lord, you want to start another family here? You know, can I be a part of that? I can see that being a possibility. I can't be dogmatic or anything, but where I got all that from, of course, is man has an imagination. And we see that folks like the idea of being able to get out and travel. Well, here on earth, they can't go any further than, one body of water to another piece of land. But there's a universe out there that's so vast, they haven't even really begun to touch the depths of it. And yet, God has prepared it for those that love him. And we're going to enjoy it. Hey, so get happy. You know, and know that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. If you don't know him tonight, and I would feel remiss if I didn't invite you to get acquainted. Don't get like Micah and get your own little shrine and make that your life's effort. Don't lead your children down the wrong path. Hey, God's given them to you as a blessing. Help them to find their way. In this world today, that's going to be enough of a job to do for those that have two or three children that God has blessed them with. And don't let somebody else come into your household and cooperate with their part. You know, I'm looking for a place. Well, they left their place. They can't help yours. Amen. And, you know, your neighborhood will be a better place when they know that God is living in the house that you live in and in the heart of each and every one that represents him in that house. And you can have that relationship by asking Jesus into your heart. If you've come to this conference and you don't know him, you're missing the boat, because the only ship going home is the one that he's prepared for us through Christ Jesus. And God bless you.
Thank you, Dr. Enoch. Our Heavenly Father, we truly, once again, thank you for another message. Help us to obey it. Help us to live our lives for thee, daily surrendering our lives to thee, renewing our hearts and lives in fellowship with thee, that our fellowship may be restored, that we may have that joy, not just having the Holy Spirit living in us, but through us, out to others, that they may see the joy of thy salvation through us. We pray. Amen.